first prison was never used in general. It was never used as punishment. By that I mean you weren't given a sentence and then served your time in prison. That was not how prison was used in the first century. Prison was used in the first century as a way to change your mind. They put you through a little few things while you were under their control, so that you would change your mind and do what they wanted you to do. And they would put you there if you were about to be executed too. It was a holding pen. It wasn't a place for being rehabilitated. It wasn't a place for being punished. It was a place where you were going to either change your mind or you're going to go to your death. So they were being tested when they were put into prison, because it was either give up their faith in Jesus and bow the knee to Caesar, or they were going to die. And so he says in the text, the devil is about to throw some of you into that testing pen, into prison, that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Now that phrase 10 days I alluded to earlier when I said that if you take this as a parallel historically to this period of the first 3 centuries, the period of great intense persecution, that time period when there were 10 emperors who were known to be rabid enemies of the Christians from Nero to Diocletian, and who just piled it on when it came to persecution. They had unremitting persecution for those 300 years. What does he say? Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful unto death. You know, in the end, when we stand before Jesus, there is only one criterion by which we will be judged. And it isn't what we've done. It isn't the amount of credits we have in a human sense behind us, in our name. It's, have you been found faithful? And so the Lord will say, as he looks at our lives and examines our works and examines our obedience, he will say, of those things that we did out of obedience and out of faith, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. See, faithfulness is essentially obedience. The Christian life is impossible without the grace of God and the strength of the Holy Spirit. Impossible. But the Christian life is not complicated. The Christian life is essentially putting one foot in front of the other and doing what Jesus says. That's the second half of the Great Commission. Jesus said, as you go into all the world, you make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the second half of the Great Commission says, teaching them to observe, that is to keep or to obey, all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And so the idea here is that our marching orders are to do what Jesus says. It ain't rocket science. Little kids can obey. Teenagers, that's another issue. Adults, probably another issue yet. You will have tribulation. Be faithful. Be obedient. All the way. Don't give up. Never. Remember Churchill's great statement when he spoke during World War II at one of these public schools during the war, and he gave his address, his graduation address. Never, 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 never give up. And he sat down. A Churchillian, memorable phrase. Never give up. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't throw up your hands. Don't say it's not worth it. Don't say it's too late. Don't say any of those things. Be faithful unto death. Guess what? We can be faithful because he is faithful. He will never let you down. The admonition is, don't let him down. He will be faithful to you unto death. He will be carrying you and guarding you and keeping you all the way. He will never abandon you, the faith that you've committed in him. So the answer is, now you be shown, be show the world what it means to be a Christian, and you follow him right to the very end and do what he says. Do what he says. And it's not talking about drama here. He's not talking about histrionics. He's not talking about some kind of world headline grabbing activity. He's talking about doing what Jesus says. Be faithful unto death. And what does he say? And I will give you the crown of life. Now, he's not talking about giving us eternal life. We already have that through our faith in Jesus Christ. The crown always means reward. And in the end, there is a reward. In 2 Timothy, Paul says that he's about to depart and to go to be with the Lord. And he says, henceforth, there awaits me a crown of righteousness. which the Lord has prepared not only for me, but for all them that love His appearing. I have a reward for you. I have a well done waiting for you. I have an assignment I'm going to give you for eternity. That's cool. An assignment for eternity. I think it would challenge the socks off of any most driven individual in this room. We'll never be bored in heaven. There'll be plenty to do. People that we know. People that we love. Assignments given based on our faithfulness. He says, be faithful unto the end and I'll give you the reward. I'll give you the crown of life. Don't worry, you're not going to be forgotten. It will not be wasted. Your commitment to the Lord will never be wasted. Never. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's us. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Overcomes means to conquer. Means to endure to the end. The second death refers, of course, as we know from the book of Revelation, to hell. The lake of fire is called the second death. And what it says to the believer is, you don't face hell. You don't have that specter of eternal separation from God on the horizon like a dark cloud. There is therefore now no final condemning judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but who walk after the Spirit, Romans 8:1 tells us. No final condemning judgment. No second death. No hell. But eternity will consist of opportunities for service based on our faithfulness here and now, on how we have lived in our walk with the Lord, and the things that He finds pleasing will be commended, and the opportunities will be given in accordance, and the things that are not pleasing He will also remove from us, and then there will be loss of opportunity that will result from that. The issue is not, what are my rewards going to be? The issue is, how can I please the Lord? This isn't a calculator deal. This isn't where you tote it up and you say, well, I got so many things I'm going to get rewards for here. I got so many things I just blew. That's how I viewed Christianity before I became a Christian. I viewed it as like a balance scale. Good stuff on one side, bad stuff on the other side, and you just hope there's more good stuff than bad stuff. That's works theology. Now, God doesn't reward on the basis of that in the sense of eternal life, but He does provide opportunities on the basis of faithfulness. Opportunities for service here and opportunities for service in the kingdom to come. And so He says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown, the reward, the opportunities. What is the reward? What is the great reward of heaven? What is the great reward of earth? The great reward of heaven and the great reward of earth is the privilege of serving Him. The privilege of being His spokesperson, His child, His representative in this world, is letting people see Jesus through us, living through us. You see, as we represent Jesus, as His ambassadors, the world will see Jesus and be drawn to Him. Or alternatively, if they see a bad representative, they may be deflected a little bit. Thankfully, God is sovereign, the Holy Spirit is sovereign. He's not going to let somebody lose their salvation because of you. But you can mess some people up if you are not found obedient. And so the issue is, bring glory to Jesus. In the end, there will be commendation and reward. And He will never leave you nor forsake you. You're not walking this journey alone. You're never alone. You're never alone. Do you realize how many people in this world feel alone? Lots. Even people in a crowd. Even people in the middle of a lot of folks feel alone. Jesus said, I will never leave you. Never leave you. Never leave you. The Lord is always there through the person of the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. Jesus said in John's Gospel that the time would come when He and the Father would make their abode in us. Make their home in us through the Holy Spirit. We get the whole Godhead. We don't just get one third of the Godhead, we get the Holy Spirit. Get Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all living inside us. God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit in you, the power source. The source of wisdom, the source of knowledge, the source of truth, the source of encouragement. All the great good things that are His rewards here and now. And all those great good things will be multiplied to the nth degree when we are before His judgment seat. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Yes, please.
James 1:12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive. receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him.
Amen. Very similar to the 2 Timothy passage we quoted. Once he has been approved, you know what the word approved means? Tested and found successful. It's what you do with metal. You prove it to show its genuineness. And that's what trial and tribulation does, is it proves you to show, not you, but the world, the genuineness of your relationship to Jesus Christ. Yes. Overcome is conquer. Nikon. One who conquers or overcomes. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word today and this word to this wonderful church that you had nothing but commendation for and consolation for, the church at Smyrna. We thank you, Father, that even today there is a thriving Christian community in that city because they were found faithful. You didn't remove the candlestick. We thank you that in spite of their suffering, in spite of their poverty, in spite of the blasphemy directed and the scandals directed against them because they were believers, that you kept them and you continue to use them to this day. Father, we thank you for that testimony of the church at Smyrna, the church at Smyrna today. The reward of the well done and the opportunities for service. For this we give you praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Great.